Hey everyone, welcome to the Compass Podcast. I am excited today to be joined by Kareem Helmy on the research team at Galaxy Digital. I have had the pleasure of getting to know Kareem over the past couple of years. He's obviously very well known in the Bitcoin mining space, especially on the research side. He has done a great nonce analysis, which came out, I guess, a little over a year ago, maybe about a year ago at this time. So if you're interested in that, definitely check it out. But today's conversation is going to be just that, a conversation. We're going to talk about a lot of different topics. I'm excited for all of you to get to sit in on this conversation with Kareem and I, and I hope you enjoy it very much. I hope that you enjoyed this episode. If you do, please consider subscribing and leaving a review on your preferred listening platform. It really helps out the show. The Compass Podcast is presented commercial-free by Compass, the number one Bitcoin mining marketplace. If you want to get started mining Bitcoin, source hard-to-find ASICs, or find competitively priced hosting space, then check Compass out at compassmining.io. And now, on to the show. Kareem, hey man, welcome to the show.
Hey Whit, thanks for having me. I'm really excited.
Yeah, it's this is nice. This is like, I think the last time we talked, you were in California. Since then, you've been to, what was it, Puerto Rico? Is that where you went after that?
Yeah, I was living in Puerto Rico for a little bit. It was good.
And now,
yeah, it's good to be back.
And now you are in New York City at your new gig with Galaxy Digital.
Yep. Yeah, good to be back. And a lot has happened since last time. So excited to share that.
Let's talk about it, man. So you are now with Galaxy Digital on their research team. What's going on over there?
All right. So we are building out a new research team. Alex Thorne just joined a couple of months ago as the head of firm-wide research at Galaxy, where he's going to be covering like all of the material across all of the different desks that Galaxy has. And we're going to be just, making everybody's life a little bit easier. So I just came on literally Monday. We're recording on Thursday. Since then, I've just been like overwhelmed with a ton of stuff. but I'm really excited to be here and to start, churning out some top-notch research.
So obviously the first 90 days at any company is like drinking out of a fire hose, right? Especially in mining, you're trying to get your feet under you and figure out what you're going to do. What's the vision and the focus for the research team at Galaxy?
Our goal is to investigate anything that our clients are interested in and anything that we're interested in. We're going to do that. We're going to put out awesome content on it. And, we're going to let our users and our readers kind of reach their own conclusions from it.
Succinct, direct, to the point. I love it. So, you've been basically focused on mining to this point, right? For anyone who doesn't know, how did you get into the mining research space?
Yeah. Before I was at Galaxy, I was actually over at Coinmetrics. While I was there, I was building out the miner flows products that we had. Our whole thing was that existing products that claimed to track miner spending were just not doing what they were supposed to. They were actually tracking pool spending by only measuring the flows that were coming directly from payout addresses from the Coinbase address. So yeah, while I was there, we wanted to develop a more sophisticated model that could do a better job of measuring this stuff. I started reading up on mining and I just fell down the rabbit hole hard. So most of my research since then has kind of focused on mining, both around that and around nonce analysis. And yeah, going forward, that's definitely going to be a major focus point for me, but really excited to kind of cover the Bitcoin and crypto space more generally as well.
Well, we hear it all the time, right? Like mining is this incredibly opaque industry. And because of the overwhelming lack of research to this point, and I should say to, really like a year and a half ago, it's led to that opacity. And now because people like you have taken an interest in it, and there's others as well, it's starting to shine a light on these dark corners of the industry. So when you're approaching the research side of mining, like what is it for you? Like what are the drivers? What are the motivating factors that, get you out of bed every day and want you to, focus on mining?
Yeah. There's just so much to learn, right? I really mean like the collective, we know so little about mining and about like how, all the gears interact with each other. And to me, that's just crazy exciting. There's been this historical research gap. Like you mentioned, mining is, super, super opaque. And I joke that every single article I write starts with mining is incredibly opaque. because the fact is it is. And you know, like it has gotten better over the last couple of years, definitely. Like the industry has started to mature. There's a lot more capital moving onshore into the United States and North America, where the reporting standards are higher. But, you know, as it stands, it's still, you know, tough to get a read on the space. So really where I see myself filling in is just filling that information gap. And I think that's a pretty cool position to be in.
Yeah, absolutely. So when you're now, I mean, at CoinMetrics, you had a couple of initiatives that you were working on. I mean, the nonce analysis was amazing. And I think it was really the first time that anyone looked at S9s in the way that you did. And it was very unique research for the space. Now transitioning over to Galaxy, which, you know, publicly traded company, a different bag of investors that are looking at, you know, at the company itself. How are you taking a different approach to the research that you're doing?
Yeah. So, you know, like I mentioned earlier, our goal is to just cover everything that our customers and that we are interested in. Sorry, can we edit that out? Going forward, my focus is going to be on putting out concise, clear, good research that is designed to bridge the gap between people in the industry who, you know, like know a lot and newcomers who know a little less, but, you know, bring their own traditional experience. So that's going to be the focus at Galaxy. We're still going to use a ton of data the way that we did at CoinMetrics. We're still going to be doing, you know, quite a bit of deep tech work. I want to continue my work on nonce analysis while I'm here. And, you know, there's still a lot of action, but I think the nature of it is going to change a little bit.
So why does a nonce analysis fascinate you so much? Like what is it about that is captivating?
I just love that there's information where there shouldn't be.
Okay.
The nonce distribution should be completely uniform. It should be random. It should be noise data. And the fact of the matter is it just isn't. There is a ton of hidden information there. Like I've been using it for hardware fingerprinting. That's kind of been my shtick. But I saw someone on some altcoin the other day use it to actually estimate the worker hash rate, the individual worker hash rate of a 51% attacking entity.
Interesting. Which coin was that? Do you remember?
That was Fyro, I think.
Okay.
So formerly known as Zcoin.
Oh, yes. Okay. So you use a nonce analysis to track the 51% attack. Were you able to like trace the source through the nonce analysis? Is that what they were doing?
Yeah. So what they did is they actually looked at... So the attacker was using a linear search across the nonce space, right?
Yep.
Which means that in expectation, you can do some division and you can actually get the estimated hash rate of the individual worker by seeing how high up the nonces are and how long it took for them to actually find that nonce. Because if they try like 1,000 nonces and they do that over 1 second, then, you know, they're doing like 1,000 hashes per second, right?
Sure.
Just the linear search kind of revealed that. It has, you know, huge security implications, this kind of research. And I think like we're really still just touching the tip of the iceberg. There's, you know, maybe 7 people working on nonce analysis in the entire industry. And, you know, we're all really smart, but I just can't wait for this to kind of like grow out a little bit, get a few more people, and hopefully a little bit more work.
So now your initial nonce analysis was on the S9s. Are you looking at other machines now?
Yeah. So I can't speak too much to it, largely because I don't know if it works or not. but I have been super, super interested in fingerprinting the S19s.
No, I mean, look, when it comes to the S19s versus the S9s, there's going to be a lot more of these S19s that are running for the next 5, 6, 7, 10 years. Who knows? They're constructed very well. And now we're at a point where, and correct me if I'm wrong, maybe we're not going to see the improvement in hash rate like we saw between the S9 and the S19. We may not see that kind of jump again for quite a while. I mean, who knows? But we may see these machines on the network for, I mean, 5, 6, 7, 10 years. Who knows?
That definitely seems to be the impression that I'm getting, right? Like the marginal improvement per upgrade and model has just been decreasing.
Right.
And, you know, there's a lot of reasons for that. But the main one is just that, like, the machines used to suck and now they don't. Now they're actually pretty good at what they do.
Yep.
And so it's just harder to improve. So I definitely think the S19s are going to continue to be competitive for quite a while. And I think that's, you know, just part of the evolution of the industry, but it does kind of introduce a different dynamic.
So why look at the S19s and not the what's miners?
Nonce analysis is a lot easier if the hardware is dominant. Part of what made the S9 so easy to fingerprint is that, you know, they were responsible for about 75% of the network's hash rate at peak.
Sure.
So they left a very, very clear mark, right? So the more machines that this one model has, the more hash rate that this one model has on the network, the easier it is to fingerprint and the easier it is to kind of like get a read on how responsible it is for the network's hash rate.
Makes total sense. Okay. So, I mean, aside from the nonce analysis, what are some of the things that you're working on that you can talk about?
So we are going to be looking at, just why Bitcoin, you know, I think it's something
why Bitcoin as opposed to not Bitcoin or as opposed to altcoins?
We are going to be making an investment case for Bitcoin and you know, why the firm has been interested in Bitcoin. Okay. I think it's, to me, one of those core questions. You know, everybody has like their own research piece and nobody cares about one additional person's research piece, but we're going to be writing it for ourselves, right? We're going to be writing it for our clients. We're going to be like, why are we specifically into Bitcoin? And I think of it like someone said this a while back, but Bitcoin is the blind man and the elephant, right? You have a bunch of people, they're all like touching this elephant and you know, like they're getting different parts of the elephant and you know, like thinking that it's different things. It's a fan, it's a broom, it's a, you know, like a spike, whatever. You know, we're gonna be one more blind man. And I think, you know, for me, that's pretty interesting. And internally, that's going to help us kind of figure out what our motivations are. And, you know, hopefully there's something new there.
So, I mean, there's many angles to that argument, right? Why Bitcoin? So how does mining play into that versus, you know, someone who's just looking at exposure for investing?
You know, I think mining is one of those things where it's just like it's a lot easier for investors to kind of justify an investment in something that has cash flows than it is to justify investing in something that just like sits, right?
Sure.
So a lot of, I mean, like we've kind of seen this and also I should preface this with like everything I say here is my own views and not those of Galaxy Digital. But we've seen a lot of investment in, you know, like these public mining companies and things like that. And to a certain extent, that's just because it fits like investors' mandates better. It's just easier to justify putting money into equities. It's easier to justify putting money into things that like are revenue generating and you know like pay for themselves rather than, you know. And I use this in the nicest way possible, but a speculative investment in Bitcoin.
Sure.
So yeah, that's kind of my viewpoint. I think that's a big part of where mining fits in. And, you know, it does have positive externalities. It supports the rest of the network. It makes everybody else's life a little bit better.
Now, I mean, aren't we moving away from the speculative asset comment though? I mean, doesn't it seem like, I mean, this year especially, there's been so many institutions, so much big money that's come behind Bitcoin. Is it safer now than it ever has been?
It is. And, you know, we've seen a lot less like volatility than we have historically. You know, Bitcoin's kind of been chilling for periods. Like, and when it moves, it's, you know, been moving up. I'm a massive Bitcoin bull. You know, I'm just like an up only believer. Again, views my own. But the fact is it's speculation, right? Like,
sure.
And that's not a bad thing. Like investment and speculation in my point of view are just two different words for the same thing. But some people have a mandate to invest in things that generate money in a predictable fashion. And Bitcoin isn't that. Bitcoin is, you know, a hard money asset that just sits and it's good at that.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely is. So, I mean, when you guys are approaching this now for your investors, I mean, determining why Bitcoin, it seems like common sense, I guess. So how does your mindset change when you're approaching this from the idea that whoever's reading it has probably little to no understanding of what Bitcoin actually is, and any idea that they do have is probably misinformed?
Yeah, it's really tough. So I think there's this concept of the curse of knowledge, right? It's like when you know something, you suddenly forget how to explain it.
Okay.
I think that is very, very common in Bitcoin. But what I'll say is, you know, it's surmountable, we hope. So the approach that we're going to take is just, you know, really first principles, like here's what Bitcoin is, here's why it's good, and here's why it's good now. Because the fact is there are just certain environmental you know, like macro conditions that have kind of rendered Bitcoin more opportune now than it has been ever. I personally think that Bitcoin at its current price levels is still a highly competitive investment. I think, you know, like it's just where it's at. And, you know, I'm going to try my best to kind of verbalize why.
Fair point. So what is it that you're excited about right now when it comes to, I mean, aside from the research, just where we're at in the market, what's going on with Bitcoin, what drives you?
You know, I'm always excited about mining. Like, that's still kind of just like my pride and joy. Like, I toured a mining facility yesterday and it was super sick. And, you know, it's just, I learned a ton. So I'm kind of still watching that. You know, price action is always exciting in a bull market. I don't remember what price level we recorded that last time, but it was a tiny fraction of what it is now.
I think like 9,500, if you can believe it.
Yeah, I think we were like, we had maybe like touched 10K and we were like, whoa, like, yes. And it had gone back down.
Yeah. Yeah. We were accumulating at 9,500. That's crazy.
So I love watching price. I know a lot of people, it just sounds shallow, but like, I think price is a hugely important part of Bitcoin. I think people only take it seriously as an investment if it's a good investment. And you know, we're lucky, or maybe it's by design, but like, Bitcoin has proven to be a phenomenal investment over the last few years and especially over the last 12 months. And I think that's really exciting. I'm really excited to watch Bitcoin kind of go into the mainstream. I think it's going to have some unforeseen challenges for sure, definitely. But by and large, it's just going to be really good for the people who have Bitcoin and even a lot of the time for the people who don't yet.
Yeah. I mean, before this podcast, I was telling you how my sister just messaged me that she made $1,200, right, off her first Bitcoin buy. And it's cool to see that this is where the market's heading, right? Like, I think we're experiencing this time right now where there's such awareness, such growth of the asset class that people are getting drawn in, and it's still so early. It sounds super cliche, but it still feels so early. I mean, the fact that you are now putting out research to educate people on what Bitcoin is and why it's a good investment is just an indicator that, you know, I mean, even at 60K, 55K, whatever, when this podcast airs, we are still so early.
So early. It is just crazy, right? Like, we just have these like institutional investors starting to get interested in Bitcoin, and kind of like, what a unique time, you know? It's been what, like 12 and a half years now? But that's kind of a blink in of an eye.
We're a teenager. We're hitting our bar mitzvah. It's all right. We're becoming adults now. You're absolutely right. When it comes to the life cycle of Bitcoin, it's crazy to see how far we've come as fast as we have. And I mean, the public dialogue and the discourse around Bitcoin right now is bananas. When you hear Michael Saylor talking about, you know, all of the times that, you know, gold has been stolen or lost, or wars have been fought for gold. And then you relate that to where Bitcoin is now and how we could possibly overtake gold's market cap. Or any of these other things, when you talk about like just the public sentiment around Doge, right? It's crazy.
It's insane. But hey, all I can say is the fourth halving party is going to be lit. You know, like, we didn't get to quite like party as hard as we could have on the third one just because of the pandemic. But no, this time around, like, I'm just so optimistic. And it's hard not to be, right? It's just hard to like look at Bitcoin today with the active address count, with, you know, the amount of value that's being transferred, with the number of users, with the institutional interest, with all of this stuff that's going on. It's hard to look at it and be like, "Ah, this is boring."
But I mean, like, with the active, okay, so let's talk about active address account, like the active address count. How do you feel that actually measures up against the sentiment for Bitcoin? I mean, is that a metric worth paying attention to?
I definitely think it's worth tracking, right? I don't think it has anything to do with the number of users, just because, like, you know, I have like a ton of addresses, and you know, someone who has a Coinbase account doesn't have any, right? But you can see it as a proxy for the number of users. It's definitely like related. And that's awesome. You know, that's awesome that this stuff kind of leaves an on-chain fingerprint, and that we can like gauge the network's health and like really assess how things are doing. And all of this stuff, by the way, is stuff that separates Bitcoin from kind of like the flack, right?
Sure.
The chaff. I don't know what the analogy is, but like,
the
Bitcoin
coins.
I can't say that.
Okay. I said it for you, but yes. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
We'll call it the chaff.
We'll call it the chaff.
There you go. Okay.
Usage matters. Fundamentals still matter. Even in a bull market, fundamentals matter. They might not matter right now, but like, I just do truly believe that, like, you know, like, Bitcoin's going to be used. It's not, I mean, it is a speculative asset, but it's not nothing. It is it is a real hard money that you can like use, you can hold it, you can spend it. And that's awesome. And it's just new. Like, how often do you see something like this that's just fundamentally new come around?
And, you know, I mean, we've heard for, I mean, years now, since I got into the space, everyone has been talking about put 1% of your wealth in Bitcoin, right? 1%, just be safe, 1%. So like a psycho, I put 100% in because, I mean, why do anything half-ass? But when you're thinking about this now, it almost seems irresponsible to only put 1% in. Like, if you are only 1% of your entire portfolio invested in Bitcoin, it seems like you're criminally underexposed to what has proven to be the best returning investment of the last decade.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I'll say this, it's really hard to keep your exposure at 1% once you get 1% in.
It's right? True. It's true.
It just goes vertical.
Yes.
That's just what Bitcoin does. Like, I can't make price predictions in large part because I don't know which way the market is heading at any given time. It is so much easier to guess things directionally than it is to you know, guess individual fluctuations. But like, Bitcoin just does that.
And by does that, you mean goes up.
It just goes up.
It just does that. That thing where it increases in value generally year over year. It's incredibly exciting. I think that, you know, now more than ever, we're experiencing this. I mean, right now everyone's euphoric. It's just crazy. You know, even when we're talking about the conference, Bitcoin 2021, you know?
Yeah.
The excitement around a bunch of people getting together to celebrate Bitcoin, you know, it's crazy.
It's crazy.
It really is.
Which month in 2017 do you think we're at, like right now?
So I think May, right?
That feels about right to me.
And I love Bitcoin. I am a Bitcoiner. I own a Bitcoin first company, but I look at the entire market. I would be lying if I said that Bitcoin is my only asset. I got into this market trading all coins, right? So when I'm looking at 2017, I'm seeing like, where are alts now? Where is Bitcoin now? How are we looking as we progress? To me, it strikes as April, May, more towards May. I think we're, you know, getting to that point where we're seeing, you know, we've had DeFi summer, and then we've got the different shit coins that are having their run. We're seeing them all start to cool off. And I think we are getting ready for this just face melting Bitcoin pump, which is super exciting, but also makes me feel underexposed to Bitcoin. I mean, I guess you always do. Like, no matter how much you have, you always feel like it's not enough.
Dude, I just wish this bull run had been like a year later so I could have had some money in the bank. when it started, that would have been amazing. I'm completely with you. Like, I'm just so bullish, and you know, things are a little quiet right now. Like, I feel like we've been kind of hanging out around 50, 60
yeah.
a little bit. It's not going to stay there, right? Like, it's just not. And again, I can't make price predictions, and again, views my own, but
sure.
Damn, man.
Well, I mean, dude, when you talk about people that are coming in and like their average purchase price, institutions, average purchase prices above 50K, it's just really hard to imagine that these people with steel hands and deep pockets are going to let it dip too far below that, right? Like, they're going to step in to buy, and there's not as many sellers as there used to be. So
yeah,
supply and demand would dictate we're just going up.
No, 100%. And I think the thing is also like kind of to your earlier point, like, these institutional buyers have much stronger hands. They're going to dampen the volatility of the asset toward the downside, right? Like, they're buying for the long term, and that is fundamentally good for Bitcoin. It's good for, you know, like every part of Bitcoin. It's good for the price, which is, you know, amazing. I love price. But it's also just like good to have these buyers of last resort. And kind of like, okay, institutions aren't buyers of last resort. They're like buyers of second to last resort. But it's still just good to have people who are like invested in the ecosystem, who are pouring money into things like mining, who are pouring money into things like better custody and better, you know, like better ways to buy. It's just good for the ecosystem. And I just don't see any way that you can be anything but bullish right now.
Well, and I mean, also we're getting to the point where there's such a level of transparency and responsibility with the service providers around Bitcoin that it's just more approachable, right? Before it was this nebulous concept of like sending a random string of numbers and letters. Right. It's so like, I don't know if you've ever done this, but one of my favorite things is having my family members transfer $10 of Bitcoin to cold storage, like just helping them buy their first $10 of Bitcoin and then watching them fumble through transferring it from whatever exchange they purchase on to their cold storage. It just reminds me every time of how nerve-wracking it was. Like, I remember the first time that I did it, I must have read that random, like the key a gazillion times to make sure that I didn't lose that money. And we're getting to a point now where that's almost done. It's almost done. I mean, whether it's, you know, yachts for whatever people want to think about those, you know, emoji addresses or the unstoppable domains or any of these other ways that you can transfer now your Bitcoin. I think we're getting really close to a point where it's very similar to the way that things operate now with like a Zelle or a Venmo or a PayPal or, you know, Cash App.
It's getting easier for sure. And I think like we used to historically have this awful, awful just UX problem in Bitcoin. All the tooling was just ugly and it was hard to use. And it was clearly designed by engineers and not designers. And that is changing fast and it's changing hard. I'm excited for it. I'm excited for that. I'm crazy long transparency. I think like transparency in general is just going to be so, so good for the space. Like sunlight is the best disinfectant. For me, that means better data. At CoinMetrics, that was one of the big things I was focused on, was just, you know, bringing data to issues that hadn't been studied before. It means, you know, like audits, whether cryptographic or traditional. And yeah, like it's just going to be good. It's just going to be good, I think.
Okay. Well, Kareem, we hit this hard and fast. I think you and I together, like our pace of conversation is just like, we're both so excited about everything that we're discussing that the time goes very quickly. What I want to know is, before we wrap things up here, you're in a new role. You're still focused on Bitcoin. Your passion is mining. What is the one area of Bitcoin that you personally hope to impact the most directly in the next 12 to 24 months?
Price. I want to make the number go up. No, I'm kidding.
Pump it.
Pump it. No. I'm teasing. I'm entirely joking. This is being recorded.
That's too funny. That's too funny. Yeah, for refunds? No, I'm just kidding.
Now sell me your Bitcoin. Keep it low, keep it cheap. I want to impact transparency, man, and transparency in mining. Like I think like mining used to just be so opaque. You're helping fix that. I'm trying to help fix that. I think we can do like just so much in this so easily. The fruit is just so hanging low. So that's my goal. I want to make the space clearer. I want to make it easier to invest without feeling like you got to deal with this like scammy nonsense and cloud mining and whatever, right? Like that's what I'm shooting for. I want to make it easy to get numbers. I want to make it so that like we don't have this problem again where everybody thinks Bitcoin hit 20K because, you know, like some unnamed data provider said with a bunch of fake exchanges said it did, right? I want to make it easier to not lose money to a scammy offshore exchange. Like that's my goal. And I think like there's a lot of stuff that like we as individual participants can kind of do to further that easily. And, you know, just without any sort of drama. And it just makes life better for individual users. It makes life better for investors, and it makes the space a lot more approachable, I think. So that's what I'm shooting for. The main way I'm going to shoot through that is just through writing easily digestible reports that like, you know, your grandmother can read, but also that like make your grandmother like a hardcore Bitcoiner. And, you know, also
nonce analysis, you know?
Yeah. Dude, nonce analysis for grandmas.
So look, Kareem, this has been a great conversation. What I want before we sign off, though, let everyone know where they can find you, how they can dig into your existing research, and where they'll be able to find all of the future content that you're going to put out.
Absolutely. So I am at Kareem Help Me on Twitter. Our Twitter handle for Galaxy Digital is at Galaxy Digital HQ. And our research desk isn't just going to be covering Bitcoin. We're going to be covering like everything. But, you know, like through and through, I'm a Bitcoin bull. So if you want, you know, just like shameless bull feed content, hit up my Twitter. And if you want more measured analysis, hit up Galaxy's.
There we go. Well, Kareem, thank you for coming on the show. Everyone, thank you for tuning in to the Compass Podcast. We'll talk to you all again very soon.
All right. Thanks so much for having me, Whit.
That's a wrap for us at the Compass Podcast. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please subscribe and consider leaving us a 5-star review on your preferred listening platform. Thanks again, everyone. The thoughts and opinions expressed by the hosts and guests on the Compass Podcast are their own and do not represent the opinions of Compass Mining, Inc. None of this content should be considered financial advice.